5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Howdy, Croc Nation. This is Dr. Tom Iannelli, your favorite cancer survivorship bus driver on the other side of the glass, Angel Santana. Have faith, let it begin. What do you say, Angel?
How are you, my friend? How was your holiday?
Thank God I ate tons and tons and tons of things I shouldn't eat, but don't tell my doctor or they'll start screaming at me, but we're going to keep that between you and me.
Well said, and I'm going to take the fifth on all the turkey and the pinto that I eat.
How about your kandoulis?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
And did you have ham or did you have or pork?
Pork with a capital P.
Did you eat the crunchy skin and all the fat and all that?
You have to. Come on, I'm Spanish. You have to. You gotta have
the what do you call that part?
Oh my goodness. It's called cuerito.
The cuerito.
That's it.
So Angel, today is the last part of a three-part series. I'm gonna hate to see this series go, but it is about generosity. We began a four-week series around the Thanksgiving time, pre-holiday time, in regard to gratitude and generosity, generosity being the other side of that coin. We talked at first about practitioner generosity to their staff, medical leadership, how they should treat their staff, how they should take their crowbar and open up their wallet and show some love. Then we talked about organizational generosity, what your healthcare system owes you in order to keep you engaged and get that above and beyond from you in order to better serve your patients. And today, since we are a cancer survivorship podcast, I think it would be most apropos to end this series on generosity in regard to survivorship generosity. What do you say about that, Angel?
Hear, hear. Let's do it.
So let me ask you a question, or actually tell you a story that's part going to end with a question.
What if
I were to tell you, now I'm not wishing this upon you, but just pretend you have a very curable cancer and you've just been diagnosed and you're scared as hell and you don't know where to turn. And somebody tells you, hey, you know what? On Tuesday, there's going to be a dinner at Franco's and it's only for cancer survivors and their family. It's going to have so much food, and not just food, amazing food that's going to basically fill your belly and warm your soul. You're going to be surrounded by other survivors that are going to hug you and give you advice, and they're going to cry with you and laugh with you. And then you're going to listen to some music and you're going to laugh and you're going to hear stories. And then there's going to be a lecture to help you learn about your survivorship. And what would you pay for that, Angel?
I'd pay anything. I mean, it's priceless.
What if I were to tell you that from the years 1999 until probably about 2013, that event happened in the Hudson Valley in the Middletown, Orange County region every month for all those years, and we did not ask one penny from any cancer survivor?
I'm speechless.
Well, don't be speechless and don't be surprised and don't be shocked. And also, Croc Nation, we're going to be talking about survivorship generosity from my point of view. And I really want to be clear that everyone knows my disclaimer is I do not claim to have all the answers. I don't claim that my way is the best way. There's a million different ways that cancer survivors can be shown generosity. We're going to share my experience over the last 25 years as a model, but that doesn't mean that other people that are interested in survivorship generosity have to follow the same model. And we're going to be talking about that. So Angel, the way it went, and again, I know that the Survivorship Nation or Croc Nation has heard some of the Croc history. We've had even a podcast or two about the history of the Croc organization. We had Al Denninger speak about the beauty of his wife, Beth, and how she was our first Croc member and everything related to that. But let's take a few minutes and step back before we move forward. So the way an oncologist, whether it be a doctor, whether it be a nurse, whether it be anyone in the field that touches a cancer survivor, it doesn't take long to realize you need to do more then just be great at what you do in order to serve these very special patients. And when I was a young doctor, I had come up into the Hudson Valley in, I want to say 1991-ish, something like that. I was 30 years old, and I was given the directorship of this amazing but small radiation oncology department in the basement of this old crotchety building with just terrible equipment, terrible machinery, and, you know, a very, you know, good but sparse few people. Maybe there were three or four of us in the department at the time. I think we're treating about seven patients a day in those days. But I'm looking around, I'm doing my job. I just got out of training a few years before. I did academic medicine. And then, you know, and I was really good at what I was doing, but, you know, I'm thinking I need to do something more. This just doesn't seem like enough. So the first event that I went to that was extracurricular was an event called the Relay for Life. The American Cancer Society every year does this 24-hour event where teams are put together to raise money for the American Cancer Society. And it's just such an uplifting event. Anyone who has been part of a Relay for Life can tell you how special it is, how they have the survivorship lap, how families come together, how communities come together. I've been to the one in Goshen. I've been to the one in Pine Bush. I've been to the one in Middletown. I've been to the one in Port Jervis, and they're just all spectacular. And, you know, the first one I went to was very moving. And then the next one, I wanted to get a little more involved. And I had a cousin of mine who was an artist put together. Did you ever go to one of those fairs, Angel? And you have like a muscle man, and there's the face that's cut out, and you put your face in, and everyone, it looks like you have muscles, or, you know, you look like you could be put your face in and you're a mermaid, or you could be a shark.
I actually have one in my house to make sure I remember how I used to look. No, I'm just kidding. Yes, of course. That's the best part, is going.
Yeah. And I had my cousin, you know, cut, you know, we had the jigsaw, and, you know, we made this really cool crazy Rastafarian guy. And, you know, this beautiful bikini girl and everything, and people were just going crazy.
Terrible. It's good times.
They were putting their face, taking pictures. And, you know, we would charge a dollar, and we would then donate it to the American Cancer Society. And, you know, and then take it one step further. Part two is that, you know, I was down the beach, Cape May, you know, young doctor, you know, two kids at the time, and watching them play in the sand and make these sand castles. And things started congealing in my head, you know, hey, you know, Relay for Life, community events, you know, doing a little bit more, you know, about, you know, my background with food and my grandparents being, you know, owning an Italian bakery or pastry shop, and, you know, how I love to feed people. Food is love in my world, right? And then finally, when Mary and Beth first met in our waiting room, and we went out to lunch, and I just checked that strength, that interaction, that amazingly atomic, you know, social power of survivors being together. And that was just like the perfect storm where everything kind of came together. And that was the initiation of CROC in a time where there were no, you know, survivorship groups, and there was really nothing. And, you know, and we began what we are going to talk about today, and that's survivorship generosity. And we're going to talk about that. You know, even one of our value statements, what I was getting to before, and I got sidetracked, but one of our pillars and one of our value statement in the mantras is never ask anything from a survivor and never refuse anything for a survivor. Yeah. So this generosity is really embedded in basically in the DNA, in the mission statement, value statements of our organization, of which you're a board member. And you know this, Angel. So you are part of this generosity, of this movement. And again, I know it's going to sound like I'm bragging, and I know it's going to sound like I'm telling everyone how awesome I am. It's not about that. Maybe when I was younger it was, but it's not about that anymore. And I do not want to take any credit for this. We have a wonderful board of directors who keep me straight and keep me, you know, keep the organization moving forward. And I think I have one of the best boards ever. But I wanted to mention, and I will actually shout out to some of the earlier boards about how they actually generated the five. Again, we have five pillars for survivorship generosity from my point of view. So we're going to go through them, Angel.
Okay.
Let's talk about the gift of fellowship. So we sort of hit on this, getting survivors together. Again, that's what Croc started with. Getting survivors together is the juice of life. It's the ambrosia of support. It is necessary to get survivors together with survivors. I think that the actual, you know, Atlas holding the world on his back, on his neck, that is our Atlas, is that fellowship. And that's the fellowship that we provided at the Croc dinners. Those are the survivorship programs that we ran, like the Guardian Angels, where a breast cancer survivor who's been through treatment and is cured will then take on some newly diagnosed breast cancer patients as their sort of guardian angels and watch over them and help them get through. We have watched our survivors in these engagements and these opportunities and these events. We've watched them laugh. We've seen them shed tears and give love and unconditional love and hugs. We would play music and we would have, you know, all sorts of different artists and musicians and everything come to these things to help our survivors feel loved. We even played a game of survivorship Twister. And that was not easy, Angel. You know, you have to be very careful. You know, when you have all these cancer survivors, they get a little randy on the twister floor. But really, what it's all about is giving your time. Remember, I said we have to do more. It really doesn't have to be to start your own 501c and start your own survivorship group. It could be just, you know, spending that time and going to a Relay for Life, showing your patients you care. I'm doing that little bit above and beyond. The gift of education. So each of our dinners, each of our events always had a theme. So survivors are by definition, unfortunately, discriminated against. You know, how many times have you heard the story of, you know, hey, I got sick and I lost my job. And getting sick isn't even like when you have cancer, you're not necessarily sick. You just have cancer and you have to either have an operation or have chemotherapy or have radiation or sometimes nothing. Just be watched. But sometimes people have been, not sometimes, there have been multiple stories of survivors losing their jobs as soon as their employers, you know, hear that they have cancer. Terrible, terrible things of discrimination. Lost jobs, you know, all those types of things. And again, the best defense against discrimination is information and knowledge. And that was part of the generosity, you know, of the Croc Nation, of these Croc events, was to provide that. Also disease-specific information. So breast cancer, prostate cancer, lung cancer, colorectal cancer. We would have different, you know, teaching moments or teaching schedule, spirituality, sexual function, and, you know, in the cancer survivor, all things, you know, that you never want, you know, that you might be too afraid to ask were not taboo for us. They were anti-taboo. If there was something that people didn't want to talk about or felt uncomfortable with, even more reason why we would go after it, because we wanted to be, you know, we wanted to find that 800-pound gorilla in the room, and we wanted to defeat it for sure.
Talk about breaking the ice.
Oh, my God. There was no subject that was taboo, I'll tell you that. Angel, number three, gift of movement. We got all of our cancer survivors that were part of our organization moving. I mean, it was almost part of the – you had to. It was like being in the cancer survivorship armor. You were one of the Croc Army people. And we took them hiking and biking, and we taught them Tai Chi. We taught them yoga. We had dance. We had boating and sailing. We had everything you could possibly think to keep our cancer survivors moving, because people that are sedentary, they have cancer, they're getting treatment, they're already fatigued, they're already feeling lethargic, and they're feeling depressed. I mean, let's be honest. We have absolutely a need to keep our cancer survivors moving and active and vigorous. You would agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, just that combined with fellowship, as you touched on a few minutes ago, you know, there's no greater opportunity than getting people together, because people feed off of each other. And if there's positive feedback from one and then another, then another, then another, it just, it multiplies and it's contagious and it works.
I'll share with the Croc Nation a funny story. One year there's a mountain near us, and it's one of my favorite hikes. It's called Bear Mountain. And what we would do is we would get everybody, you know, what, however many people, 20 people would show up. And I think that what my carrot was, wasn't really a carrot. It was like a strip of bacon, because the Bear Mountain Inn had one of the greatest like Sunday brunch buffets. They would have, you know, you mentioned you like ham. They would have spiral hams and roast beef, and they would have omelet stations and you name it. But my deal was, you could not just go, you couldn't come and have brunch. You had to move. So if you were debilitated and couldn't do Bear Mountain, then you would walk around Hessian Lake or do whatever. But like, no one got away with not exercising. And there was a guy, and a 78-80-year-old guy, his name was Al. And I thought I was in pretty good shape. And there were three ways up Bear Mountain. There was the easy way, there was the hard way, and there was a really hard way. So my job, we had somebody who was guiding the easy way and the medium way. And of course, I was the guide for the hard way. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to, poor Al, you're going to survive this. Al ran up the mountain, and I was trying to catch up with him. A couple years later, now he's around 82, 83. He's not as, you know, he's not as fast. And now I'm really in really good shape. So I'm thinking, I'm going to beat this 80-year-old son of a bitch up this mountain. So I crank up the mountain. And when I turn around, Al's not there anymore. I thought I killed Al. So Al got just like, he just couldn't do it. So he just went down, and I let him eat brunch. He had bacon and sausage and turkey and everything. But Al, God bless you. Please forgive me for doing that. But you shouldn't have showed me up those years later, you know, that previous hike. I just thought that was an interesting story to share. Let's go to the next one. We talked about fellowship. We talked about education. We talked about movement. Let's talk about the gift of community. This is where I'd like to really shout out to one of the first Croc boards. And they were called the Little Rascals. There were, you know, there was Carrie and Mary and Mel and all these great people, Susie and all these amazing people, and Helena and all these amazing people. And it was just unbelievable what they did. If you were in the Croc community and you were going through a hard time, they're at your house. I mean, they're bringing you a meal. If you're in the hospital, they're visiting you. If you needed a ride, you know, to go to your treatment, they would drive you. They would do fundraisers. If you didn't have the money, they would find ways to help you. I mean, this was an unbelievable group of people that have done things in their life as survivors. They're all survivors. That, you know, in the next life, they will be rewarded. They certainly will. And karma is karma. And I sadly not in touch with any of them anymore. But I am certainly wishing them God's blessings, you know, every day. And I wish that they're all doing well and they're all healthy. Number five, and in conclusion, we're going to talk about the gift of enrichment and expansion. So there were so many different programs. You know, we had the good fortune and the bad fortune of being the first. So we were the first cancer survivorship group in our grassroots basin. As such, we made it up as we went along. We tried programs that were home runs. We tried programs that were grand slams. We tried programs that were singles, doubles, and triples. And we had a lot of strikeouts, but there were different categories. Some of them worked better than others. So number one, there was the artistic, where we had sculptors, we had ceramics people, we had people teaching us how to draw, how to paint, how to scrapbook. We had sessions in literary sessions with writing, right, doing poetry, journaling. We had craft people doing knitting and needlework and teaching us how to do that. We had road trips, cultural road trips, New York City, Rockefeller Center. We went to go see the tree, shows, circuses, museums, comedy clubs. And listen to this. Hold on to your seats there, Angel. We also had people take motorcycle riding lessons that they always wanted to ride a motorcycle. So we hooked up with the organization over at Stewart Airport. And we also had tattoo nights and where people would get their survivorship ribbons at a local tattoo parlor. You know, when I got my first tattoo, I was 17 years old. And this was back in 1977, where the only people who had tattoos were convicts and drug dealers and motorcycle gangs. I mean, and that's it. And you would walk into these places, and believe me, you not only would you think you were going to die leaving these tattoo parlors, you know, now there were people coming into my office and they were saying, Dr. E, we heard you have a tattoo program. Can I get my survivorship tattoo when I'm done? I'm so sure, Millie, but you're like freaking 90 years old. You want a tattoo? Yeah, I want a survivorship tattoo, and I want it right here, right above my breast, and I want it right there. I'm going to get my breast cancer ribbon right there. So, you know, you would be shocked about how many people nowadays, little blue-haired ladies getting tattoos. Again, God bless them, enrichment and expansion. And I did forget one thing with the gift of movement. We also had clubs. In the beginning, we would have teams where we would do different running events. We would do half marathons, 5Ks, 10Ks. We had survivors walking marathons, really impressive stuff. So, you know, Angel, your thoughts on survivorship generosity from the Croc point of view?
I think through and through, let me start off with saying that, you know, in the time I've known you, you've never used the word I. It's always been about team. So just to rule that out immediately, anybody who's listening to the show, what you hear is what you get, and what you see is what you see. That being said, it is extremely difficult, but extremely doable to put something like this in motion. But you have to have the right people, the right frame of mind. You have to be able to provide your gift, your talent, so that you can create what is a treasure for others. And what you have accomplished and continue to do, and for all those that have been a part of it, and those that I've talked to and have been on your show, and going back to the first episode of The Waiting Room, which we can talk about and you can listen to, it's a full circle, and it puts a really good perspective of how TEAM works, teamwork. So kudos to you for that.
Oh, well, I couldn't do anything without my creator. I couldn't do anything without my board of directors. And certainly we couldn't do anything without our survivors. So Croc Nation, let's end this 4-session gratitude/generosity series with gratitude shout outs. Have faith, let it begin. Angel Santana, my co-host, my friend, my spiritual beacon. Thank you, my dear friend, for everything you do for us. Thank you for being part of the board of directors. To the board of directors, to everyone from my wife all the way to Becky and Alan, our two new survivor members, thank you for sharing your expertise. Justin, Jane, Sarah, Rod, did I miss anybody? Oh my God, I am in trouble if I missed anybody. Rod Freeman, have faith, let it begin. Thank you for everything you do. We've been doing a lot of work together. Annual report is coming up soon. End of year party/board meeting coming soon to a restaurant near you. Watch out, Korean broccoli. To my friend, Michael John Benzea, who's back in town. I can't wait to see him over the holidays. Charlotte Larson, thank you for your generosity. And of course, I end this podcast as I end every podcast. On behalf of myself, Angel Santana, and the entire Croc Podcast board, we wish every cancer survivor, we wish every one of you and your family a blessed holiday, a blessed Thanksgiving, filled with thanks of the things that God has given you. We wish you God's blessings. We wish you God's grace. We wish you healing. We wish you strength, and we wish you courage. And most importantly, we wish you all a very long, healthy, happy, and cancer-free life. God bless you. God be with you. God keep you. Peace.